you'd bless, Lord, the word to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Grab your Bibles, turn right now to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. It seems like we've been in Luke 18 for a couple of years, or months anyway, but we'll be wrapping it up today by the grace of God. I know it sounds impossible, but look, we're going from verses 31 to 43. And it'll go faster than what you think. This is an amazing portion of Scripture because it has to deal with the disciples. It's always fun when Jesus interacts with his disciples and it's written down. You get to kind of have like a little private briefing. Think about it. The Bible, the Holy Spirit wrote this stuff in there. And some of the settings, it's like maybe 2,000 years ago, those that were around were saying, I wonder what they're talking about over there. Well, we get to open up our Bibles and find out what they were talking about. And then we'll quickly leave that little huddle and we'll go to what's going on in the crowd this morning. But while you're preparing for that, we're looking at a message entitled, Are You Willing to Receive Your Sight? You say, Jack, I'm completely fine. I'm not blind at all. I could use a little bit of LASIK surgery or something, but that's not the sight I'm talking about. Believe it or not, this morning you could be here today and have 20/20 physical vision and be completely blind spiritually. And let me tell you, in a church this size, I'm sure there are people who come on a faithful basis who are blind. Maybe they're doing the religious thing. Maybe they're doing the thing that just seems right, or the family wants them to go to church or whatever the thing is. But they've never, never had their spiritual eyes open to God. It's a very important thing. You know, when Jesus speaks, in fact, the Gospels record that when he spoke, he said, I've done nothing in secret. Whatever I've taught openly for all of you. Don't you love the gospel? Don't you love our God? There's no secret handshake group. There's no secret club. There's no elite group of Christian commandos. The Bible says that the Lord esteems everyone the same. And if you view yourself as I view myself, that when I hear that he views all of us the same, I get excited because if I get to be elevated up to where you're at, I'm very happy to be with you. He loves us. And when he speaks clearly. No sleight of hand, no tricks. Communication, people say, is a big deal. It's a big thing. We do premarital counseling here at the church, and we go through a lot of stuff. Premarital counseling, we don't marry anybody without it. We're pretty strict about it because we get to ask a lot of fun questions, like things that they never think about. Because, you know, they're so starstruck in love with each other. It's hilarious to see two people in love. They come into the office. They sit down. It's a whole huge 8-foot couch. But when they come and sit down, it's they're sitting right on the top of each other. And when she talks, he goes like this and he's looking at her. He's watching her lips move. He's watching her eyes. You see his chest go up a little bit. And then he starts talking and she just looks and she's looking and she's looking at his hands. And pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff. And we'll ask them questions like, where are you going to spend your first Christmas? Her parents or your parents? What? It's great. They go, what? They think like, that's an important question? Oh, yeah. And this is a great one. How many kids are you going to have? What? 1, 5, 10? How many kids are you going to have? Yes, in these questions. And it always comes down to you're always evaluating their ability to communicate to one another. I always ask, I don't know if this is cool or not, but I always ask, have you had a real good argument yet? Because you can tell a lot from an argument. All the stuff comes to the top in an argument. And so I'll ask him, you know, who listens and who gets upset? Who slams the door? Who just sits there and cries? Or who's quiet for a week after the argument? All that kind of, what's it? Let's talk about your arguments. Why? Because communication's amazing. When Jesus says stuff, it's right there. You deal with it. It's clear. It's right there. You deal with it. And people want to communicate. When you are talking about a marital situation or a relationship with somebody, it always comes down to communication. Well, did you talk about it? It's important. Have you noticed today, listen, I believe people want to communicate more than ever before. You say, Jack, I don't know about that. Oh, no, I'll prove it. I'll prove it. Why have we settled for this type of communication? Are we not a generation of texters? Hey, what do you want to eat? Text me. Email me. Hey, how about this stuff? Drives me crazy. I think it's nuts. Boy, am I going to show my age here in a moment. But all this stuff about chat rooms. What's with chat rooms? Well, you know, we're just communicating. Well, wait a minute. What's with the chat room? And then what's the thing? Facebook? Facebook. People talking with other people. Stuff on Facebook that their husbands and wives don't even know about what they're talking about. And then what's the other thing? MySpace. MySpace, this space, whose space, who cares? I don't know. All this communication going on the surface, right? A lot of it. But how serious are we about really communicating? And so, I don't know, this is just my corny way of thinking, but you want to, trust me, as a Christian, you want to get into a chat room? Jesus says, go into your closet and close the door and pray and chat with God. Okay, that's a cool chat room. And then the other thing is, you want to, what was the second thing I said? Facebook. Take your face and put it in the book. Facebook. Facebook. Do that. Why? It's all about communication. All about communication. And then, Lord, your space is my space. My space is your space. Because you can't have this stuff in the world and have a straw man of communication. It's all fake. Who are you? I'm this. How do you know the guy's telling you his name? And you know, how old are you? 25? Uh-huh. Right. Want to meet? No. But Pastor, I'm going to lead this guy to the Lord. You know what? Let the Lord lead the guy to the Lord. That kind of stuff gets goofy, man. Goofy. Put your face in the book, chat with God, and let him come into your space. It's all about communication. Why is that important? Because look with me, chapter 18, verse 31. It just blows my mind. It's incredible. Verse 31. Then he, Jesus, took the 12, that's the disciples, aside and said to them, okay, briefing, off to the side, huddle. He calls them over from a huge crowd of people. And he says to them, behold, the word means look, open your eyes. We are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. That's why the title of this message is, are you willing to receive your sight? Because you can have eyeballs that really don't work. You can have 20/20 vision in the visual spectrum of this world and be completely blind to the frequency regarding the things of God. Jesus pulls the disciples over. Mark it. It's amazing. They're down in the Jordan River Valley, and Jesus is heading to Jerusalem for the very last time. He's got an appointment. He's heading to his death. And from Jordan River Valley, you ascend up on the Jericho Road. You've all heard that before. He's going to be heading up in that direction, leaving Jericho. The Jordan River is behind him. Now he begins to leave Jericho. He ascends up, and the peak of the mountains of the Judea area, that when he gets to the top, he's going to get to Jerusalem. And then downhill from there, you keep going downhill and you go right straight today through Tel Aviv and into the beautiful blue Mediterranean. So Jesus is heading west. The Jordan River is behind him. Mark it in your mind. From that eastern route coming out of the Far East, there is a flood of people heading to Jerusalem for Passover. Hundreds of thousands of people from the north out of Turkey and Eastern Europe. They're coming down through the area of Lebanon today, and they're heading south to Jerusalem because Passover's coming. And then there's another incredible amount of people coming up out of North Africa from Egypt heading north, and they're going to go along the Via Maris, the way of the sea, heading to Jerusalem, until Jerusalem is swollen with about 3 million worshipers during Passover every year in the time of Christ. And so Jesus pulls the disciples over and he gives them a little briefing and he says, listen up, look. That's what the word behold is. Look. And the look means think. You guys all know this. He's not saying look with your eyes. look, open your heart and look at this. I'm going to Jerusalem. Everything written in the prophets is about to be fulfilled regarding the cross and all of that. It's an amazing thing. So, mark it down if you would. Verse 31, it's a simple point and we'll move on to other things. That are you willing to receive your sight this morning? Then open up your mind. Because what God invites you to do is use your brain about being a believer. Because God wants to speak to you. Jesus pulls them off to the side to speak to them. Why? Because he's faithful. He's wonderful. He wants them to know. Isn't he the shepherd? He's the great shepherd. Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you shepherds. That's under shepherds. Pastors is the word that we use in the English. I will give you pastors according to my heart, God says, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's the job of a pastor, to feed the church with knowledge and understanding of God's word. Jesus is the ultimate pastor, and he's telling his disciples, this is what's coming up. That's good. Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. God wants to speak to his people. You want to have the communication with God. That's vital. Secondly, we want to open up our minds and think about this challenge that he's laying before us, because he says, behold, that all things that are written in the prophets concerning the Son of Man, that's a title of himself. Jesus is lifting that title, by the way, from two very key prophetic books of the Bible. The Son of Man, Jesus is lifting that from the book of Ezekiel and the book of Daniel. And every Jew in the audience understood what Jesus meant. Wow! He's equated himself as the Son of Man. That is the Messiah. And Jesus said, what's written in the Word is going to be accomplished. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, listen to this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is, the Bible says of itself, it is without error, and it is absolutely applicable to your life right now, today. Today. The Bible also says Jesus in his declaration confirms what Hosea said. Hosea 12:10 says, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions, and I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets. Jesus Christ is standing there and he's explaining to his disciples once again, I am going to have the prophecies of the Scripture fulfilled in my life. You'll see it happen. And that's a very encouraging thing. And then also this, before we move off of this introductory point, is that we want to open up our minds because we want to be encouraged. God wants to encourage us. Jesus says, listen, church, be encouraged. It's all about concerning the Son of Man and that it will be accomplished. God's word. I love that. God cannot lie, says the Bible. God says, I esteem my word higher than my own name. The Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. I have two really cool things here. First of all, when the Word says sharper than any two-edged sword, a double-edged sword is an interesting thing. This is an equivalent to what is the Greek makaira. In Roman combat, in first century Rome, the soldier, the Roman centurion, would have a makaira. And what he would do is that he would have this strapped on his body. He would never pull it out unless he was going to kill somebody. You never pulled it out unless you were in close combat. Watch this. When the Bible says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. It uses the word makaira. You are to use the makaira in your life, the exact word of God, for the specific purpose in your life. For example, if you're being tempted with lust, it is fruitless, powerless for you to quote Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. Are you with me? If you're being tempted with anger, you don't quote Genesis 1:1. You quote the verse that applies to your issue. That's using the Word of God rightly, the Makaira. Okay, you with me? The Word of God also tells us regarding Jesus Christ that He is the Word, and this is a Roman broadsword. Isn't it amazing? This is a heavy piece of material here. And if you saw Russell Crowe coming at you from a distance, if you were in war, he would be swinging this thing, and he would almost look like a blender coming at you. And there's a way that they had this thing to be swung in such a way that if you were approaching a Roman soldier, you would be terrified. Because the way that they did it was that they utilized both sides of this double-edged sword. Very, very important, very powerful picture of the Word of God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ himself is the Word of God. I say that to encourage you because here is the Word of God standing in the flesh, speaking to his disciples, saying the very Word of God will be completely fulfilled regarding the Word of God, the bread of life that has come into the world. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, do not think that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I've come to fulfill. The Bible is written all about Jesus. Isaiah 55:8-11 tells us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, that his thoughts are beyond our thoughts, and that God's ways are not our ways, but his ways are past finding out. And he goes on to say there that as he causes the rain and the snow to fall from the heavens and to blanket the earth with moisture so that the ground breaks forth into budding and blossoming of flowers. Have you seen the hills? Have you driven from Chino Hills to Diamond Bar, and you go through that incredible little piece of paradise? You see the lupins, you know, the purple lupins sprouting? You see the orange wild California poppies? Now, if you were painting your house, would you paint your house purple and orange? That's a sick thought, isn't it? But you know what God does? God causes rain to come down. He blankets the earth with green, beautiful velvety grass, and then he takes purple and orange and he sprinkles it over the hills, and you drive by and you go, only God can mix those colors together right. If I did it, it would look horrible. And then he says, I have sent my word out and it will perform exactly that thing for which I have sent it. And it will never return to me void, God's word. It's so fun being able to proclaim God's word because the power is not in any of us. The power is not being an evangelist or a pastor. The evangelist or the pastor or the Christian should know where the power lies. And that is the Holy Spirit who uses the word of God. That's the issue. And Jesus is giving them the word. Here's the bummer. They don't want to hear it. And you say, well, Pastor, those disciples, they were really something, those bad guys. Hey, listen, you and I are just like that. God will show us and tell us something, and we'll start whistling and look the other way, like we didn't hear him. Oh, I really want that thing. God, do you want me to have this thing? Okay, he does. He wants me to have this thing. And you don't have any peace about it, and you didn't get a yes from God about it, and then you get the thing, and then it really winds up making you sick, and you're all upset about it, and then you wish you didn't have it. All because, listen, we don't want to hear what he might say. Well, listen, it is absolutely vitally important that we understand that God's word is given to encourage us, even when we don't understand it. Keep that in mind. It will be accomplished, what God has written. Point number two this morning is verses 32 to 34. We want to open up, listen, not only our minds, but this is vital. You can't do one without the other. Open up your mind, my friend. If you're a doubter, if you're a skeptic, open up your mind to what God says. Number two, open up your heart. You can't really be a real, true, blue, living human being without opening up your mind, that is using your mind and your heart. God will put those two things together. By honestly looking at the evidence, verse 32 is absolutely one of the most amazing verses in the Bible, and here's the reason why. Verse 32, Jesus speaks and he says, mark it down, take notes. He says, for, the word means because, the word of God's going to be accomplished, verse 31, because, verse 32, here it is, mark it. Number one, he will be delivered to the Gentiles. Church, did that happen? Not only is it recorded in the Bible, it's recorded in Roman history. It's recorded by unbelieving historians. Jesus Christ was delivered into the hands of the Roman powers. The cool thing is, Jesus is telling the disciples before it happens. Number two, he will be mocked. Was he not mocked? The Bible says that he would be insulted. Next one, number three, insulted. made fun of, ridiculed. If you're the king, come down from the cross. Remember they made fun of him? Did that happen? Yes. Number four, spit upon. They spit on him. And I don't mean a little lady spit. You ladies have such little... First of all, ladies don't spit. But if they have to spit, it's the cutest thing in the world. I don't know if my wife's in this service or not, but women just don't know how to spit. Because you just don't do it, because you're ladies. And you and it's down your chin, you don't know what's going on. And a man will look at a woman spit and just go... Why? Because we know how to lay them down. Especially after a nice tall glass of milk. We can really. Jesus is saying they're going to spit on me. And the Roman centurions and the religious rabbis and scholars walked by and the Bible says they spit on him. And I'm not talking some little lady spit. It was a horrible scene. And then look at number five, found in verse 33. And they will scourge him. Notice Jesus is speaking, by the way, in the third person. He says they will scourge him. You want to know why? In theological terms, you know why he's doing that? The Holy Spirit is speaking through him a prophetic word. The Holy Spirit's speaking. They're going to scourge him. The cat of nine tails, the Roman cat of nine tails, it's a stick with a ball on the end with nine leather whips. And the nine leather whips are about 18 to 24 inches long, embedded with fish bone, glass, and rock. Nine of them. So when you get hit once, you're getting hit nine times. Eyewitness accounts have recorded when men were beaten with the cat of nine tails, it filleted their back open. And Josephus writes that many victims, you could see their lungs still breathing and operating while they're being whipped, as it would rip flesh out of their back. Jesus would be beaten. Not only that, Isaiah chapter 50 prophesied that concerning the Messiah, that they would take his beard and pluck it out. And you know how Rome did that one? They took a stick anywhere from 3 to 6 inches long, a stick, and they fed it through the beard of the victim. Just poked it through, and then they twisted it around the hair, and then they would take what is called the cleat. They would take their cleat and put the cleat, their sandal, on his forehead, grab that stick like this. Are you with me? Anybody with me? And they would pull it. And again, eyewitness accounts tell us that you could see the victim's teeth and gums when they would pluck out the beard. The Bible says they did that to Jesus. You can read more about that in great detail. The prophetic suffering of Christ in Isaiah chapter 50 and 53. The Bible there lays out in extreme detail about the suffering that the Messiah would go through. Listen, look at the evidence. Use your heart and mind. Look at the evidence concerning Jesus. Understand this. God help us in this world that we're in right now. Because you know what? The biggest black eye that the church has been delivered by itself by Christians. Christians who fail to appreciate what Jesus has done. Christians who flirt and date and goof around with sin like it's nothing. Amen. And then they say, oh, God's going to forgive me. Be careful about that. Are you really a believer? Because listen, are you really struggling with things in your life? Now, don't get me wrong. All of us struggle with things in our lives. But the truth of the matter is, are the things that are tempting you, are they so minuscule and weak, but you yield to them? Listen, I have a wonderful bit of news to you, for us. Love Jesus more than that ridiculous sin. Love him more. You won't have to worry about, oh no, and what about this, and oh my goodness. Listen, put your face in the book and know how much he loves you. And then when Bubbles comes tripping along and flirts with you, you can just go, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Bubbles or eternal life through Jesus Christ? Bubbles or life in God? You have to think about that one? Love him more. And how do you love him more? By seeing what he has worked for you. Isaiah 52 and 53. The work he has worked for you has been an amazing thing. Salvation through Christ. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. He gives it, but you got to receive it. Open up your eyes and receive what he has. And it's beautiful, by the way. Keep looking at this. They will kill him. But Jesus never mentioned this scenario, nor the Holy Spirit, without saying, but on the third day, he'll be risen from the dead. Isn't that great news? The question is, did the disciples hear that? Well, look at verse 34. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Honestly, we need to draw a conclusion. Look at the evidence and draw a conclusion. Check it out. The disciples, they didn't understand. Now watch it carefully. They didn't understand, and the things were hidden from them. Read your Bible carefully. You would think by reading it in the English that it means they couldn't understand. It was like a mystery. Oh no, the exact opposite. The truth is that they would not receive it. He wanted them to know what was coming up. They didn't want to hear it. We battle that in our lives, huh? When you come home and you say, I got good news, I got bad news. First of all, you're, oh no. Right? Some of us who are weirdos like me, I always want to have the bad news first. Give me the bad news. And by the way, I know when people always come to me and tell me good news, something's wrong. Life ain't full of good news. Life has some good news in it. But there's bad news too, you know. Have you ever asked somebody, how you doing? Fine. And you ask them that for about, I don't know, 5, 10 years. It's always good. They may be nice to you, but they're not being honest with you. Jesus tells the disciples, I have a date in Jerusalem with the cross. And they willingly will not hear it, and they will not receive it. Church, before we press on, do they have eyes? Yeah. But can they see? They look around at all the stuff that's in front of them, and Jesus speaks the words to unlock their heart, to engage their mind, to bring them to a point, and they miss it. And this is a danger for all of us. Very, very important. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, it says the Apostle Paul, and that he prayed for the church that was in Turkey, it there says in Ephesus, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes, here it is, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, which are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. You see, Jesus had been telling them all along. In fact, mark it down. Earlier on in Luke chapter 9, verse 22, and Luke chapter 9, verse 44, Jesus had warned them and said, listen, church, he said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to die. He tells them again. In fact, listen to this. In Luke 9, 44, he says, let these words sink deep into your hearts, into your ears. What is it, Jesus? He says, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. And the Bible tells us that they didn't believe him. They didn't see it. They didn't want to hear it. Leads us to the third point. The final point is this. Don't get excited. It's the final point, but it's a big one. You're not going home yet. Are you willing to receive your sight? Then open your mouth. Verses 35 to 43. See, God begins to touch your mind. He gives you a word. He's speaking to you. Maybe this morning you're here and you don't even know why you're here. I mean, you're here. But it's like, you know, what's going on in my life? Listen, I want you to know something. He has pulled you off to the side, and he's telling you about things to come. My goodness, you don't even need to go to church anymore to find out about things to come. All you have to do is turn on a good news program these days. It's amazing. Things to come. Are you willing to hear it or not? What about your mind? Next, what about your heart? This is critical because it's going to happen. It's going to take place in your heart that you will be convinced of the very evidence that God has shown you in history and in the Bible, that everything Jesus records in verse 32 and 33 actually happened. It really happened. And then also verse 34 about being honest enough to draw a conclusion, to come to a conclusion. They didn't understand. They willfully didn't listen. That bills a response in our lives. And it's to open your mouth. Why? Why, Pastor, do I need to open my mouth? How is my mouth open? How do I receive my sight by opening my mouth? Oh, watch this. So you can hear. You want to open your mouth. Watch. So you can hear. The mind, open it up. The heart, listen to him. Open it up. Watch. Look. Why? Because you'll have something to say. You'll open your mouth. Yes. Because, listen, God wants you to hear something. And check this out. This is fun. Verse 35. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. Verse 37. I love this. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Little bit of background. This man would have done what beggars do. Remember, he's blind. He would have gotten up in the morning, as they do, make their way to the city gates where passers-by pass by. And he would have began his begging for the day. You with me? Normal day. It's a normal day for him. He's blind. He fumbles along the way. Some parts are familiar to him. Maybe something, you know, is different, but he makes his way to his place, sets up his little camp. Have you ever seen beggars? Have you ever traveled to foreign countries? For foreign countries? Go to L.A. And there's beggars, hand out, alms for the poor, they might say. This is normal for this man. But listen, it's Passover season. There's hundreds of thousands of people streaming into Jerusalem to the point that it will swell to nearly 3 million people coming in three different directions. There's a huge crowd going by. And so he makes an inquiry. What's going on? Normal question. People are pressing and pushing and in route. And somebody shouts back, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And I want you to think about that for a moment. First of all, the person answers and says, Jesus of Nazareth. Why? Why that? Oh, why? Because for 33 and a quarter years, Jesus was the Jesus of Nazareth. Because the Jesus of Nazareth was the Jesus regarding the speculation and the scandal regarding Bethlehem. Remember that scandal? Remember when the Pharisees said, we know who your father is. Do you remember when they accused Jesus of being, I'm not going to use the word, you know what I'm talking about? They accused him of that. They said, we know who our father is. That was another slam against who his dad was. They believed he had no father, earthly father, that Mary had gotten pregnant out of wedlock. By the way, in the beginning, you remember the Christmas story, Joseph thought the same thing at the beginning. He sought to divorce her. Engagement in the Middle East. If you're engaged and you're going to break it off, you have to go through divorcement, because engagement is powerful that way. No, God shows him in a dream. Listen, Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That holy thing that is within her is the eternal Son of God. So all of the speculation, somebody shouts, it's Jesus of Nazareth. My question to you is, what did this man know about the Jesus of Nazareth? What did he know? Can you imagine? Oh my goodness, I've heard about this guy. Number one, his whole life has been a constant buzz of speculation. People have been talking about this guy forever. I can't believe he's passing through my town. And then on top of it, I've heard about his miracles. People have said, I've heard that he raises people from the dead. I even heard that he cleanses lepers by touching them. And when he speaks, I heard that he speaks with more authority than the Pharisees themselves. That's him. This is him. Listen, listen. Don't answer yet, but who's really blind here anyway? The disciples have eyeballs, but they can't see. The blind man is starting to form a vision in his mind. Have you ever talked to a blind person? Talking to a blind person is an awesome thing, I think. Because they'll talk to you if it's just a passing moment where there's no interaction. But if you do know them, I grew up on a street where we had a young guy who was my age and he was blind. And It's actually a very beautiful thing when they talk to you and they're friends. If they're friends, it touches your face. You ever seen that? They touch your face when you're talking. What are they doing? You know what they're doing. It's the very premise of how they and why they invented Braille language. You can see with your fingers. Are you with me?
Yes.
Don't tell me you can see well if you have 20/20 vision. That means nothing to God. Can you see in darkness? Can you see when it's totally, totally black? The man is getting excited because in the mind, memory, he's Jewish, he's in Jericho. His mind begins to possibly remember his upbringing, the Hebrew scriptures. He hears about Jesus of Nazareth. Only a Jew would care about that. Hope begins to arise in his heart. He can't sit silent. He's got to say something. I love it. What happens? Look at verse 38. He has to shout. I mean, this is too fun. Open your mouth. Open your eyes so that you can shout. It says in verse 38, and he cried out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Can you mark that in your Bible? Circle the word cried out. Doesn't that sound nice? He cried out. Like, honey, can you bring me a glass of milk? I don't know why I'm talking about milk this morning, but that's not how he cried out. Can you bring me a napkin? That's not how he cried out. When this man cried out, it was with a wail. The word in Greek means he shouted. And he did something that was forbidden by Roman law. And technically forbidden by the scribes and Pharisees, because you are not to call anyone Son of David unless the Messiah showed up. Did you know that? This guy's breaking every rule you can break. He upsets Rome, or theoretically he would have upset Rome and Caesar. And then he upsets the Jews. Why? You know what he's doing? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, as he cries out. You know what he's announcing? Every Jew knew it in the area. He's saying, this is the Messiah, the Savior, the King of Israel. He's the one that's going to deliver us. He's the one that's going to save us. This is the one. I can see him. And look at verse 39. The people turned to him, mark it, and they warned him that he should be quiet. That's putting it nicely. They turned around and they said, you better shut your mouth before some religious leaders hear this and before the Roman government hears that. You're going to get us all in trouble. Man, be quiet. Zip it. Now watch. A lesser person would say, I'm sorry. Silly me. I had a thought that maybe he could do something about my blindness. But a person who's beginning to be stirred in the heart, that's a God thing. Let me ask you something. Is Jesus passing by you today? So what do you mean? I don't know. What's going on in your life? Why are you here? What's happening? Last Wednesday night, I talked to an unbelievable amount of people. I couldn't believe it. If you missed last Wednesday night, you missed something special. God was moving here. It was bizarre. There were people, as we were having communion, getting on their knees and accepting Jesus Christ in the sanctuary. It was remarkable. And it was as though doors were being opened. And we didn't have anything to do with it. We were just watching this happen. Some people that I talked to after service, never ever been in a church before in their lives, stumbled into a communion service, which is predominantly reserved for the believer only, winds up saying, I want Jesus in my life. I had a man come to me and he said, Pastor Jack, I was a pretty wealthy guy, young guy too, pretty wealthy guy. I lost my job, lost my homes. He said, I had multiple homes in Chino Hills. I've lost them all. And in these last 3 months, I have found Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and I wouldn't change a thing. You guys, that is Jesus passing by. That's awesome. So what's going on in your life? Maybe God's beginning to stir the pot, as it were, in your life and shake things up. And so when this young, I don't know if he's young, if this blind man shouts out, "Have mercy, son of David," it's an amazing thing because the rabbis taught in the first century that the proclamation of the son of David is to welcome the Messiah, and they affectionately called the Messiah the second David. The rabbinical writings referred to the Messiah that would come as the second David, or son of David, or simply in the context of the scriptures of his prophetic coming, David. This guy is shouting pure, accurate, biblical theology. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Messiah of Israel, king, have mercy on me. In verses 40 to 43, it says, then look at this, it's beautiful. Jesus stood still. This is a pregnant statement. It means that there's an entourage and they're moving. It's a vast group of people and it's like the Colorado River flowing. And imagine looking over the Colorado River and it stops. That'll get your attention. Jesus is walking, crowd gathered about, and all of a sudden, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy." And when they told him to be quiet, by the way, it says that he shouted, look at your Bible, it says that he cried out all the more. I love this guy. "Hey, be quiet. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. You better be quiet. Hey, when you're desperate, what are you going to do? Desperate's a good thing. I think America is waking up a little tiny bit to the fact that America is truly desperate. That's a good thing. I heard a news reporter yesterday say, I think the greatest thing that we can do at a time like this is to strengthen our family. That was a news reporter giving a commentary. I mean, he wasn't supposed to, he just said it. That's amazing. So he's crying out. And verse 40 tells us that Jesus stands still. The word means Jesus stops dead in his track. Can you imagine? Brakes slam on. See all these people. And Jesus commands the, "Bring him here to me. Bring him here." Listen to what Mark's gospel says. This is hilarious. Mark chapter 10, verse 49 and verse 50 says this, that the people who were saying, "Be quiet, keep your mouth shut," when Jesus said, "Bring the man to me," the same people turned around and said, "Be of good cheer, arise, he's calling for you, bunch of hypocrites." Isn't that funny? Hey, shut your mouth, you big noisy guy. Just sit there in your darkness, you weirdo. We're going up to Jerusalem with Jesus. "Bring that man to me." "Hey, I got him right. I found him, Jesus. Here he is." How funny is that? "Be of good cheer, man. He's calling for you." Cracks me up. And Jesus, verse 41, this is almost comical. But hear me out. I mean, I want to laugh, but you just have to be careful. Jesus says to him, look at it. "What do you want me to do for you?" "Why, I'd like to get some new clothes." He doesn't say that. "What do you want me to do for you?" The guy is blind. Thank you for asking, Jesus. Let me think a minute. He's blind. You say, yeah, that is funny. What's Jesus doing? You guys, if you have a highlighter or a pen, or take it from somebody else and use this, circle this. Look at verse 41. He said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." There's a word in there that changes everything forever. Listen, Lord. You know what that means? Lord, that I might receive my sight. The word Lord means whatever you want to do. Lord, I recognize who you are. I can see you. I know who you are. You are Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David, God in the flesh. I know who you are. Man, I thought the guy was blind. When he says Lord, everything else is secondary. How about you? Are you blind today? Lord, I need hope. Lord, I need help. What's brought you here today? If you're listening right now, what's brought you to tuning in to listen? Do you need hope? Do you need love? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need peace? What is it you need? It all begins with Lord, meaning, you know what? Now that I've met you, church, are you listening right now? Lord, now that I've met you, you can take care of my sight if you'd like to. That's your business. I'm just happy to meet you. Lord is whatever you want, Master. Oh yeah, if you want to touch my eyes, that's cool too. But I'm going to follow you because I just saw you. It clicked in my dark, dark mind. I saw you. You see, my friend, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. And so Jesus calls him and he's talking to him face to face. Can you imagine? Put yourself in this guy's sandals. Jesus says, what do you want? And Jesus is going to say, open your eyes. You receive your sight. And the Bible says immediately, his eyes were opened. Pray tell, not much of a speculation here. Whose face do you think he saw first? Can you imagine? That face. Who knows what that face looks like? He saw it. His eyes. Imagine, look at the lights. It's dark and then the light begins to appear. And you're seeing Jesus' face. And I wonder what he said. I wonder if he said what the guy told me last Sunday at church. Or, you know, I listened to you on the radio. And I formed this view of you in my mind. And then I came here. And you don't look like anything like I thought you. I mean, you look so different than what you sound like. I've had more people say, you know what? It's funny seeing your face. You sound like Kermit the Frog. I don't know if they want, you know, expect me to be green or what. But you know how you hear things and you form this view? Can you imagine that this man, he saw Jesus. Listen, he saw Jesus. After he saw him, he saw him for the truth of who he was, and then he could see him. That's you today. If you know Jesus based upon the truth of who he is, then you can really see him. You see, people see all kinds of Jesuses in the world, don't they? Isn't there a Mormon Jesus and a Jehovah Witness Jesus and an Islamic Jesus and a Buddha Jesus and all kinds of Jesus, all kinds of different Jesuses? The Bible says there's all kinds of Jesuses. But you will never be able to recognize him until you see him in the truth. And then you see, and then you recognize, and you understand. And so, Jesus of Nazareth passes by, and all the people see, they watch, experience what takes place. And the scripture says that as the man received his sight, follow it, he received his sight. Next, he followed Jesus, glorifying God. How cool would that be to watch? And the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. How fun is that? Isn't that beautiful? So I'm going to ask you something. We're all done. You close your Bible. How bad do you want to see? Today you're saying, man, you know what? I'm glad it's over. Let's go get breakfast. I could care less. Didn't understand a word you said. Then you can't see. That's why I quoted scripture. So it would unlock things. Nope, I don't get it. Let's go. You're blind. God says you're blind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, by the way, that Satan, the god of this realm, has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe. They don't see it. They read the Bible and they go, what? What? How do you guys read this thing? And then when you do come to Christ, remember, did you ever try to read the Bible before you were a Christian? And you're like, what? And then you become a Christian and it's like, oh my goodness, this is so plain. Why? Because you first saw. Your mind was touched, your heart was touched, and then your mouth had to confess, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Let's pray. Father, we're asking you this morning to do exactly that. I'm asking, Lord, that you'd have mercy on us as a church. We're asking you, Lord, to have mercy on us as a body of believers, Lord, as a husband, a wife, a single person, a family. We're asking, Lord, that you'd move even right now in the midst of this place, right here, right now. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Friends, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Listen carefully. At the end of what I'm going to say, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hands. And then after service today, I'd love to meet you. If it's possible, I'd love to meet you. But listen, can you hear Jesus passing by you right now? Are you thinking, if you were to die today, where would you go? See, you can't get to heaven without him. That's why he died on the cross. You can be the nicest guy on the block, but you're not going to heaven. Jesus died to take away your sins, but you can't have your sins taken away unless you ask him. So I'm asking you, will you receive your sight today? And this is how you do it. Do you believe and will you receive the truth that Jesus died for your sins on the cross? Will you believe and will you receive that he rose again from the dead, as the Bible and history tells us? Will you receive the fact that he's asking you to become a child of his? Are you willing today to exchange your life? That is, just give him all your stuff. Good stuff, bad stuff, junky stuff, any kind of stuff. He wants your stuff in your heart, in your mind, your life. Will you do that today? Will you give him your life? And will you say, will you call him Lord? The Bible says if you confess that with your mouth, you shall be saved. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm the only one looking around right now. If you say, Pastor Jack, that's me. I'm coming to Jesus. I'm on that road, and my eyes are opening up right now. God bless you. Anyone else? This morning, God bless you. If you sense that there's a move going on in your life, you feel like you're under pressure right now. You kind of feel like a Coke bottle that's been shaken. You don't like everything that was said, but you know something's going on. It's different. You walked in here and something's boiling in your gut. And you know you got to do something about it. If you're having that experience right now, I highly recommend you take that step right now and ask him into your life. If that's you, raise your hand. God bless you. Man. And you in the left, back there in the very back to my left. Anyone else? Way in the back to my left in the corner. And you right there on the aisle. Anyone else? Right back there, God bless you. If you've already raised your hand, you can put it down. Anyone else at this last minute? You right here, you over there, and you in the back. I see your hand. God bless you. Way back by the control board, God bless you. Father, I pray that as these this morning have heard your word and as Jesus of Nazareth has passed by, that you would right now, as you already have begun to do, to open up their eyes. And that today, Lord God, they would know that as they make this confession, that scales fall from their eyes, that their names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that eternity is secured by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And that today, they will make that decision, as they have by raising their hands, to say, yes, Lord. Lord, I desire today to receive my sight. Be upon them, Father, and bless them in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, now listen carefully. At the end of this song, those of you who raised your hand,